I've called this Get Stubborn. Last week, Sam spoke about the spirit of not giving up. And today, I want to follow up on that. Soon after becoming a believer, on the 15th of February, 1965, actually, I got involved with others in telling others about Jesus. And one of the earliest of these sort of expeditions that I went on was to what we called a project mission in Matlock in Derbyshire. And so we were doing evangelism in the streets and coffee bars and all this sort of stuff. In the evenings, we were in the mornings, we were having teaching and the inspirational stuff. And there was a guy there called Alfred Path. I've never forgotten the man. He died not that long ago. But he was speaking one day and he said these amazing words that have stuck with me ever since that time. It's from 1 Corinthians 15:58, and it says, "Be steadfast, unmovable or immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." And that's why I really don't mind fixing the loos and fixing the fan when it broke down on the bouncy castle yesterday and doing things. I don't see them as, doing things for people. I see it as part of what I do for God. It's one of my ways of serving God. But along with these events in my life, these and other events in my life have built within me what many would call a stubborn streak. I believe it's a God-given quality. That might sound surprising, but it can be a God-given quality. But stubbornness is a bit of a two-edged sword, isn't it? There's two sides to it. It can be positive or it can be negative. So we're going to take a brief look at each of these. The negative side: unreasonable, intransigent, resistant to change, unwilling to listen to reason, and sometimes unwilling to listen to God. It's generally negative, isn't it? We all know about the child who was made to sit down, but said, "But I'm standing up on the inside." And I think we can all identify that, because there are times in our lives when we feel like that, when we have to do something we don't want to do or whatever. Is that whatever word? Sam's going, oh. But it demonstrates this attitude of standing up on the inside demonstrates something of a disobedient, rebellious spirit. And one major example of this is found in what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah. Ezekiel 16:49-50 in the NIV says this about this particular time. "Now, this was the sin of your sister Sodom. She and her daughters were arrogant, overfed, and unconcerned. They did not help the poor and needy. They were haughty and they did detestable things before me. Therefore, I did away with them, as you have seen." And that the story of Sodom and Gomorrah is perhaps one of the most famous stories in the Bible. It's no accident that Ezekiel is speaking, in speaking of Sodom, highlights the lack of care for the poor, before he even mentions all the sexual sins and problems that they had. The passage uncovers this sort of deeper layer that is running through them. All the sex stuff was just an outward behavior of an inward attitude. The heart issues ran much, much deeper. The people had become full of pride, careless, self-satisfied, and stubborn. Alarmingly, this sounds all too familiar today. But I don't really want to dwell on the negative side of things too much. Have you ever noticed that when God really wants to get your attention, he says the same thing in many different ways? There's so much in Sodom and Gomorrah that we can recognize around us. The fact that we talk of first world, second world, and third world countries demonstrates that. As far as I'm aware, when God created the earth, he created one world. And he loved that world. So there are many examples of this negative, ungodly stubbornness throughout the Bible. But we haven't got time to look at any more. But there were also those who were stubbornly loyal to God. And I want to look at a few of these positive, godly ones. It's much better, I feel, to dwell on the positive things in life. So the positive side, stubborn, determined, tenacious, persistent, not easily put off, enduring, faithful. They're all things we want. They're all the type of person we want to be. Daniel was a man like this. Daniel, I mean, look at his situation. He had this stubborn determination towards God. He was taken captive by a foreign power, removed from his own country, carried into exile, and trained to serve this foreign king. It's bad enough being captured and taken away from your home without being forced to serve them as well. But despite all this, Daniel still worshipped his God. Daniel, in Daniel 1:8, says this, is the New Living Translation, Daniel was determined not to defile himself by eating the food and wine given to them by the king. He asked the chief of staff for permission not to eat these unacceptable foods. That's a pretty tough call. Just to talk to the king could get you killed. But Daniel talked to the chief of staff, who spoke to the king, and the king actually gave permission because he valued what he saw in Daniel. He saw that Daniel wasn't being put off. This wasn't a spur of the moment thing for Daniel. It wasn't something he did just to be awkward. It was carefully thought out, and he had good reasons behind it. Above all, Daniel wanted to please God. And in fact, if you read the story, there is no hint whatever that Daniel wanted to disobey the king. Instead, he served the king faithfully and well. And the king, in turn, valued Daniel. And there's more to that story. But what a picture of determination, this stubbornness, this desire to stand for God no matter what. Whether it was being removed from his own country, whether it is a matter of diet, whether it is a matter of loyalty to the king, Daniel stuck at it. And was faithful not only to God, but he was faithful to the king that he served. So this word stubborn Another word I've used here is determination. Determination is the ability to make difficult decisions and accomplish God's goals based on the truths of God's word, regardless of the resistance that may be encountered. It's the ability to aim towards godly pursuits and not allow ourselves to be distracted or discouraged. It comes out in that verse in the Bible that says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And there's still behind that. It's not just, you know, running against society. There is a choice, a purpose, a setting of the heart and the mind towards God. And that requires some determination. Sometimes we need to get stubborn. Paul, you know, he must have been a very stubborn guy. Stubborn, determined. This is what he said about his work. When some people challenged his ministry and his validity as a servant of God. I know I sound like a madman, but I have served him far more. I've worked harder, been put in prison more often, been whipped times without number, and faced death again and again. 5 different times, the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. I don't know about you, once would be enough. Five different times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. That was by the Romans. Once I was stoned. Usually when they stoned somebody, they ended up dead. But somehow Paul survived. God preserved his life. I have faced 3 times I was shipwrecked. Yep. Once I spent a whole night and a day adrift in the sea. Just to survive that alone is a miracle. It's extremely difficult to survive in the sea for more than a few hours. He survived a day and a half. I've travelled on many long journeys. I've faced danger from rivers and robbers. I've faced danger from my own people, the Jews, as well as from Gentiles. I've faced danger in the cities, in the deserts and on the seas, and I've faced danger from men who claim to be believers, but are not. I've worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights. I've been hungry and thirsty and have often gone without food. I've shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. Besides all this, I have the daily burden of my concern for the church. Paul had a concern, not for himself, but for the people of God. Paul had a concern to serve the people of God, to serve his Lord. This was one stubborn, determined man. And yet he says this in 1 Corinthians 2:2 from the Message. I deliberately kept, in inverted commas, my message plain and simple. First, Jesus and who he is. Then Jesus and what he did. Christ crucified. That was his message. And when we see what Jesus endured, we can see what motivated Paul. So moving on, here are 3 ways we can be stubborn for God. The first one's in prayer. Ephesians 6:18 says this, never stop praying, especially for others. Always pray by the power of the Spirit. Stay alert and keep praying for God's people because God wants to do more. And somehow, amazingly, in the economy, in the kingdom of God, God can do more when we pray. The more we pray, the more God can do. God wants to release power through your prayer. God wants to release finances through your prayer. God wants to see people saved through your prayer. When we pray, God can do more. And when we talk about that, we're talking about the God who created the universe. If God can create the universe, how much more can he do through when we pray? There's power in prayer. There's glory in prayer. There's creation in prayer. There's salvation in prayer. There's healing in prayer. I don't know if you've ever prayed for people that are sick, but when you pray for people that are sick and they get healed, it's fantastic to see people. Several times I've prayed for people who've had back problems and stuff like that, and I've prayed for them, and I've seen their legs grow and see their face when they realize, right now, God is healing me. He does it through prayer. The second area we can be stubborn for God is in the Word. Joshua 1:8 says this, always remember what is written in that book of law. Speak about that book and study it day and night. Then you can be sure to obey what is written there. If you do this, you will be wise and successful in everything you do. And there's three different ways I've shown here of reading the Word or getting hold of the Word, getting the Word of God into your life. I hope you haven't got a Bible like that. That is so sad. A Bible that is so dusty that you can write, read me on it. I hope you got a Bible with a really tatty cover that gets a lot of use. The pages are well thumbed. That have got underlinings and colourings in. Perhaps even one that's really nearly falling apart. One that's read and loved. But you can also read your Bible on your phone. They have an app on your computer. You can listen to your phone. You can listen to the Word of God on the audio. And if you speak a different language, maybe you speak, I don't know, what languages have we got here? We got Tamil. Tamil, haven't we? Tamil, singular? Yeah, we got singular. Any others? Who? Swedish? Swedish, French? Well, it's quite difficult to get hold of a Swedish or French Bible or even a Tamil Bible in this country. They're not commonly obtained. But if you've got a Gideon app on your phone, you can have the Bible in something like 1,200 languages. You can listen to the Word of God as you drive, as you do the housework, whatever it is you do, you can listen to the Word of God. So there are three ways there that you can access the Word of God. We need to be determined about this. You need to be a bit stubborn and not allow stuff to break into that time when you spend reading God's Word. The third way we can be stubborn for God is this way. Fellowship. It's not good to be alone. Take the leap. Get in with the other fish. The believers studied what the apostles taught, they shared life together. They broke bread and ate together, and they prayed. At the same time, they praised God and had the goodwill of the people. And here's the amazing bit. Every day, the Lord saved people, and they were added to the group. So meeting together on Wednesday is going to be noticed by people. Why are so many people going into that church on a Wednesday? It's not even a Sunday, it's a Wednesday. There must be something good going on there. And there is. Because every time you come, you get fed by the word. You get encouraged, you get prayed for. You begin to grow. You begin to change. People see the change and they say, I want some of that. The New Testament tells us the parable of the Good Shepherd. He's not only counting his sheep into the fold each night, he counts them in. But he knows which one is missing. It's Flossie again. And yes, some sheep don't want to be found. Sheep have a tendency to wander off unless there is a shepherd there. So the shepherd, he goes out to find her. And this shepherd stubbornly refused to give up until he does find her. Ezekiel 34:6 says, I will seek that which was lost. I will bring back that which was driven away. I will bind up that which was broken. And will strengthen that which was sick. And I love this picture of these two guys. It's not super clear, but they're in some kind of a raging river or sea or something there. And they're hauling this sheep out. They were prepared to put their lives on the line for a sheep. And you know why? This is why God says this. They will be my people. And I will be their God. And I will give them one heart, one purpose, to worship me forever, for their own good and for the good of all their descendants. This God who created the universe, who holds it all together by just his word, wants to have fellowship with us. He says, I will be your God. You will be my people. And if you belong to anyone in this world, that's the right one to belong to. God is stubborn in his love for us. Right from the very beginning, we see this characteristic in God himself, in his creation, in his word, in his will, in just the way he acts towards us. God looked at everything he had made and he saw that everything was very good. Can you imagine God coming around? He comes along and he says, oh, wow, that's very good. Oh, wow, that's really good. Wow, that's very good. Yeah, that's good too. And when God looks at you, he says, it's very good. He loves you. He's passionate about you. And he's stubborn about you as well. And that doesn't change because God says, I am the Lord. I don't change. I remember a well-known preacher called Bob Mumford. God spoke to him once and he said, Mumford, you and I are incompatible. Big, long silence while Mumford absorbed this. And then God said, and I don't change. God's nature, his unwillingness to give in, his stubbornness is not haphazard. Before the foundation of the world, he loved you. Before the foundation of the world, he planned that Jesus would come and die on a cross for you and for me. God is incredibly, unbelievably stubborn in his love and concern for us. He doesn't give up. He doesn't give in. His love never fails. It never gives up on me. Sound familiar? I bet if I were to talk to you all one by one, you'd find that before you made a commitment to Christ, there was a time when God chased you. From the beginning, God created man in his image. He created him. He created you and me to know him, to have fellowship and communication and connection with God. He wants you to have that connection with him because he has loved you with an everlasting love. Just think about that. The God who created eternity has an everlasting love for you. Let's stand. I'm going to pray a very simple prayer. And if you want to make that connection with God for the first time, or maybe for the thousandth time, the millionth time, I don't know. This is where we can start. This is where we continue. So let's everybody say it with me. Jesus, I know I'm a sinner and I need you to save me. Thank you for dying on the cross. Because of this, I am forgiven. I am forgiven. I want you to be the leader of my life. Help me to live my life for you. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer for the first time, come and tell me. I'd love to know. And not only that, I can give you some stuff to help you just as you begin your journey in following God. But maybe you're a believer and you've been struggling and you need some help. You need someone to pray with you. Well, come and see me. We'll pray together and encourage you in the way that God is taking you. So, bless you.
Your love never fails,
never gives up,
never runs out on me. Your love never fails, never gives up,
You love.